Dear Saints, dear Oak Grove Church of God congregation, I've got a little burden that I'd like to share, and I want to ask for your prayers that the Lord will bless this, as I'm not doing it in real time. It's a recording, of course. I want you to know that I yearn to be with you. I can, in my mind's eye, look across the building and see where you sit, see where you are, realize that there are places that you occupy in the congregation that I just can see you there. And it's my desire to be able to be part of that again. But right now it's physically impossible for me to be able to do it. But I want to share this little burden with you. I do it in this backdrop. In light of recent events and things that I've heard lately, especially following the recent Super Bowl and the halftime show and things of that nature, I realize even more that the tide of the world is against us, doing everything they possibly can to destroy the fundamentals and the foundations that we hold so dearly. So the little burden I have this morning would be titled, If the Foundations Be Destroyed. If the Foundations Be Destroyed. Now we all know the importance of a foundation, knowing that the foundation is that part that holds up a building. It's underneath, underpinnings, a support for a building. And the importance of a strong foundation, it makes all the difference in the world on how secure and how sturdy a structure is, how long it can stand, how much it can withstand in storms and difficulties of weather and the elements beating against it. So I'd like to open in the book of Matthew chapter 7 the words of the Lord as he closes his Sermon on the Mount. Now this is a powerful message that the Lord had just given to the people who came to listen to him. And he closes out this way, Matthew 7, verses 24 through 29. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine, and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man, which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And every one that heareth these sayings of mine, and doeth them not, shall be likened unto a foolish man, which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. And it came to pass, when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine. For he taught them as one having authority, and not as the scribes. So this is Jesus' words, talking about two different foundations. One the sand, one the rock. I want you to be fully aware that the foundation that you and I need to build on in this life is one that is solid, steadfast, and sure. And that would be on Christ, the solid rock. Of course you're aware of that. Of course you know that. But this world has a strong, strong tide and a strong headwind doing everything that it can possibly do to deter us and capture the minds of our youth, of our children, and lead them down a different path to cause them to be taken in a different direction with the tide and the currents of the world and the winds that blow. Now, there's no question we're going to be challenged. We're going to have storms of life. We're going to have these difficulties that come to try to upend our situation. But the Lord said that if we'll build our house on the rock, on a solid foundation, when those storms come, that we can have a foundation that stands sure. So we're thankful for that and glad that the Lord is able to provide those things for us. And I want to tell you, as I think about the congregation in my mind, and I can see you sitting in your places here in the chapel, and I see the young people and the children, my heart goes out to every one of you. And I know these are some things that we've heard in the past, so I beg your patience as we go through them again, just as a reminder. Now, here's what I have heard recently concerning the Super Bowl and the halftime shows. Now, I don't know much about it. I didn't see any of it. Didn't need any desire to try to see any of it. But this is what I've heard from news and secondhand reports about it, that there was a strong effort to make certain that we understood that there was a push toward alternative lifestyles and deviant behaviors. And I've heard it said that there was a real celebration about this being a real come-out time for those who are homosexual and gay, that there was the first openly gay female coach on one of the teams. Now, I don't know who it was, don't know the team, but this was something to be celebrated in their eyes, and we've really made progress in our society because, number one, we have a female coach, and number two, she's openly gay. Now, I'm not going to try to parse things with women who work. That's not an issue to me. I think it's best for the woman to stay home and rear a family and help with the guiding of the house with her children. But those things don't always work out in that vein. But what I do see here is that the rest of this story was that not only do we have we really made a milestone in having the first female coach in the NFL, but the first openly gay female coach in the NFL. So that's something to really be celebrated, isn't it? That's what our society looks at. And that's how they pitch these things, that those are things that we're really supposed to look at and really put up on a pedestal as progress in the world that we live in. So with those things in mind, I'd like to share these little thoughts with you this morning. Now let's go to the book of Psalms, chapter 11, and read this 11th Psalm, beginning with verse 1. To the chief musician, a psalm of David. In the Lord put I my trust. How say ye to my soul, flee as a bird to your mountain? For lo, the wicked bend their bow. They make ready their arrow upon the string, that they may privily shoot at the upright in heart. If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? The Lord is in his holy temple. The Lord's throne is in heaven. His eyes behold, his eyelids try the children of men. The Lord trieth the righteous. But the wicked and him that loveth violence, his soul hateth. Upon the wicked he shall rain snares, fire, and brimstone, and an horrible tempest. This shall be the portion of their cup. For the righteous Lord loveth righteousness. His countenance doth behold the upright. Now, how say ye to my soul in the first verse, flee ye to your mountain? Now the wicked are no question about it. They bend their bow and they try to destroy the fundamental underpinnings of a society. And the truth of the matter is, folks, they're being too successful. They've had way too much success to be able to do the things that they've done. And I'm not pleased about it at all. But then it says in verse 3, if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? All right, think about that for a moment. If the foundations are destroyed, if the fundamental underpinnings of society are destroyed, what can the righteous do? What can we do to fight against those things if the fundamentals are destroyed? We look at the marriage picture, and we have to, now we're looking at situations where we have to have bylaws, where we define human sexuality, where we define marriage as the union between one naturally born man and one naturally born woman. Now, I think it's a shame that we have to go to the defining these things, but now we've come to a time in society where the pushing of the alternative lifestyles and transgenderisms and things of that nature cause us to have to define these things so that we can identify and state our position on these places. And this, it's something that in my mind is troubling. And I look around at our children and our society, and I think of the damaging effect that it has on them. And I think when I see my grandchildren come in the house, little children, and got one that's a teenager, I see them come in the house, I see them smiling and happy, and I'm happy for them to be able to come in, and want them to come in, and I want them to be able to find a place that when they come to my home, it's a place of security. It's a place where they feel comfortable. It's a place where they feel safe. I always want it to be that way. And I want it to be that way in your homes, where your children feel safe to come home, where they don't feel like they're being overtaken, overrun, and just rushed over by a society that is going pell-mell down a bad pathway. So if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? Well, we need to realize this. I want you to understand that it is vitally, vitally important that we realize that God is going to have the last say, because listen to what he says in verse 4. The Lord is in his holy temple. The Lord's throne is in heaven. His eyes behold, his eyelids try the children of men. He tries the wicked and the righteous. He sees what they're doing. He sees the path that the wicked have taken. And he sees the path that the righteous have taken. He sees the struggles of each. He knows those who have taken a path that is so deviant and defiant against him. And he knows that their punishment is eternal death. And he sees the righteous and the path that's been taken against them and the wickedness that is going on. He sees all of that. And he sees that he tries the children of men. And he looks at you and me and our efforts to do right things. And he realizes that we're growing up and coming up in a time where we face some strong, strong currents and headwinds, and we're going to be pushed and buffeted and challenged, and the storms are going to come, and we're going to have to deal with the storms as they come. That's what Jesus said in Matthew 7, closing out. The rains came, the floods came, the winds blew. It says they beat upon that house. That doesn't mean that it was just a little shower. That means it was a violent storm. It beat upon that house, doing everything it could to destroy it. One whose foundation was built on the sand, where men built the foundation, built their house, their structure, if you will, on the foundations that are less than the fundamental principles of God's divine holy word. They didn't have a strong foundation to build on, and it says that it fell. That when those storms came and beat upon that house, it says it fell. Not only did it say it fell, but it says, and great was the fall of it. I want you to know, children of God, there's coming a day when the Lord's going to return to this world. And he's trying things now. And when he comes back, the wicked have taken their path and chosen to build their house on sand. It will not stand. It can't stand. But he says those who built on the rock, when those storms came and beat, and I do mean beat upon that house, it said it stood because it was founded, it was built upon a rock. Here in verse 4 of Psalm 11, the Lord is in his holy temple. His throne is in heaven. His eyes behold, his eyelids try the children of men. The Lord trieth the righteous, but the wicked and him that loveth violence, his soul hateth. Upon the wicked he shall rain snares, fire and brimstone, and an horrible tempest. This shall be the portion of their cup. For the righteous Lord loveth righteousness. His countenance doth behold the upright. Here's the contrast. You see, the wicked, he's going to rain snares, fire, and brimstone. horrible tempest. That's the portion of their cup. But the righteous Lord loves righteousness. If you and I pursue that course of righteousness in our lives, then the Lord sees the path that we're endeavoring to take. And He sees that He loves righteousness. And He knows the path that you and I are trying to take. His countenance doth behold the upright. Now I want to share something with you, a comment that I heard Brother Ed make recently in a message. I was listening online to a message he preached talking about fear of the Lord. And he's talking about a situation where if a man who has a conscience, knows the heart, the laws of God, knows some things about God, or just has a desire to do right things, that there are things instilled in his mind that can never be taken away. And he used this little analogy. He said, just say, for example, that a man was on a deserted island. No one else around him, just him. No way to mark time, just knowing day in and day out that he could see the sunrise and sunset of another day and mark time that way. And he knew that the Lord said in his holy word, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. And he also said, honor thy father and mother. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Those things were also said to him. So just say that this man living on this island by himself somehow fell into a comatose state where for days on end he lay there with no understanding of when was day, when it was night. And then eventually he woke up and had no idea how long he had been asleep, had been in that state, had no way to know what day it was, how many days he had been in that situation. How would he know what day was the Sabbath? How would he know which day to keep as a Sabbath? It'd be impossible for him to know for sure. But the things that he had instilled in his heart and his mind, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Those things that are absolutes, he would have in his mind, and those things would still be there. Fundamental, foundational underpinnings that could cause a man to do right things regardless of what day it is, regardless of his knowledge of when the Sabbath is or is not. But there are things that God is able to put in the hearts and minds of people who seek to do right that'll be there as fundamental milestones, guideposts, foundation stones. And that's what the Lord wants us to have. He wants us to instill into our children's minds those things that are foundational and fundamental. Now, I'm not about to try to say to you today the things that you need to teach your children, how specific you need to be. But I'll tell you this, this world is getting very specific in what it's trying to teach them. And it's trying to teach them things of deviant behaviors and lifestyles that are far from acceptable in the norms of society and God's Word. So you take that initiative into your own hands and you teach your children and you rear them and instruct them on what is right and what is wrong. Help them to understand that God is in His holy temple. He tries the children of men. He tries the righteous. He tries the wicked. He has fire and brimstone, horrible tempest for the wicked, but he has a beautiful life for his children. He loves his children, and he has eternal life for them. Now, I want to go to 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 19. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 19. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure. You see that word foundation? The foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal. The Lord knoweth them that are His. Oh, thank the Lord. He knows those that are his. And let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. The Lord knoweth them that are his. Folks, what a blessing it is to be able to be called a child of God. For God to look down from his throne in heaven and see the righteous and know who his righteous children are. Says he loves righteousness. And he's looking for us to do our part to uphold those foundational and fundamental principles so that we can have them in deep in our hearts and minds, so that when these strong headwinds come and the currents come and the tides come to try to sweep us off of our feet, that we have something secure and steadfast to hold to. Now I'd like to go to the book of Revelation. We'll close out here with these thoughts. Revelation chapter 20, and we'll pick up at verse 7 and read down through probably the end of the chapter here. Revelation chapter 20, verse 7. And when the 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison. Folks, can I tell you, Satan is loosed out of his prison now. And he has a lot of liberty in this world. As much as mankind will give him, he'll have it. But I want to tell you this, as much as you will give to God, he'll let you have him. Just as far as you want to go with him, and as deep as you want to go with him, God will be with you. Verse 8, and shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth. Oh, how true that is. Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea. And what's this battle about? Let's read. They went up on the face, the breadth of the earth, and compassed the camp of the saints about, and the beloved city. What did they do? They went up to do battle against righteousness, against foundational underpinnings, fundamental rock, solid foundations. They went up on the breadth of the earth, compassed the camp of the saints about, and the beloved city. They were doing everything they could to destroy those fundamental foundations. And what does it say? Fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. Folks, I want you to know this. Yes, it's rough in this old world. And yes, it's bad. And yes, there are things going on that absolutely should not be going on. But remember this. As bad as we think it is now, I don't know how bad it has to get before the Lord comes back. But he will come back before it gets so bad that people cannot endure any longer. It says that fire came down from heaven and he devoured them. Folks, we look to God, our Redeemer. We look to heaven for our deliverance. We look to God to be able to be the one that will help us. It is imperative that we love righteousness and that we embrace it. Verse 11, and I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the book, according to their works. According to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it. And death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man, according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Remember this. God will have the last say. God is going to have the very last word. Whenever he comes at the end of time, whenever that may be, it's all in God's hands. He will have the last say. You and I are going to face the judgment, just like everyone else. It is imperative that our works be righteous works. Now I'm going to close by reading again Matthew 7:24, and the story of the two different houses. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock, and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand, and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. Folks, my little burden to you this morning is, hold fast the foundation of God. Hold fast in your heart and mind those things that are true, those things that are right and are holy, that God, that are righteous, because God tries the righteous and the wicked, and He will have the last say. May God bless you, and thank you for your time and attention this morning. I'd love to be with you. My heart yearns to be with you, but it's just impossible for me to be able to be there physically. But I'm asking the Lord to be merciful to me and to you and to us all. So I desire your prayers, and I want you to know that you are in mine. God bless. Amen.